Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ripley, little finger to the big boss. Man, aka police, get 'em over your head like it's all. Kill these niggas, that's no problem. Chill, these niggas want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Rolling rap with that shit loud, it ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake Bob. It's like nah, say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep cause my pipe bomb. Winning, bless I be hurting feelings. Niggas see Curtis Axe, so my rap is like Kirk Henning. In it, don't it? I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic. Not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty. But we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the back guy. My gang real, but I ain't never been no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Picking up my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, but you this rich is more than life in China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. I'll be hover playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a cross. Body, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move, I'll be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico. Talking to the bad guy, toothpick in your eye. I'm that guy. Hey y'all, look. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey y'all, don't look like no Daniel B where they seeing me as a goat. Look, hey y'all, something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey y'all. You counting your little B's, my nigga, my G's mo. Can I bother you with this rhyming? Man, I'm five at niggas with rhyming. Heard they talking right from the sideline, like a part of me been declining. Nigga, are you often with liars? Beside that, I got no choice. Rather be Heath Slater before I make it a joint. My point, I'd rather job than have my morals expire. Niggas getting back they brosses, I ain't toured in a while. Is you mad or not? Is you rapping her out? She wrapped my cigar, light it up because I'm grateful I just made it this far. God is pale in comparison, it's a shame, it's a problem. I'm so over forever, now my stadium is pop. Niggas sweet like they really real, but be faker than raw. Oh nah, they flaw. I got it. Oh please, Dwayne Johnson, been number two around these parts. Oh nah, you know why? Cause most of my OGs in the 80s made a movie with Rod. Stop. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Toothpick in your eye, boy, don't ask why.
Thank you.
Welcome to Wrestling It Factor Radio. Your host, Wayne Benitez. How's it going, wrestling fans? I'm riding solo tonight. Tommy Two Chips have a private engagement to go to. So we have our special guest, former WWE Michael Tarver, better known as Tyrone Evans. Give it up for him.
Hey, hello, how you doing?
Doing good. Welcome to Wrestling It Factor Radio.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yes. It's an honor.
Oh, man. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good.
Yes. How was that? Yeah, how was that amazing tour in India wrestling?
Yeah. It was tough, but it was fun. You guys got to see all of the good parts. Or anyone that, you know, tuned in got to see all the good parts. But it was tough. That would be my fifth tour of India with CWE. And I'm going back
awesome.
In the summer, a couple months.
Yes. Definitely the great colleague. He's a very good promoter over there.
Yeah, he does a great job, and he's got a school over in Jalandhar, a small town in India, not that far from where he's from. And a lot of students. And irony is that WWE was actually having a tryout in India the last week of our tour in the town that we were in, I think like the day before our last show, and some of his students were on tryout, so which is pretty cool.
Awesome. Yes. Do you have athletic background before wrestling?
Yeah. So I was primarily a basketball player, but I played a lot of sports. I played basketball, arena football. I ran track. I did a lot of pro-am. I was on a track club. We did pro-am competitions. I traveled on a traveling team. What else? Boxing. I dabbled in MMA, a little jiu-jitsu, Thai boxing. You know, I wanted to learn. And anything else I can get my hands on.
Awesome. Yes. Who did you influence in the wrestling business growing up?
Who was my influences? Well.
Yes.
Probably have to say Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes. We grew up watching WCW and NWA. I never really was familiar with WWF, honestly, until the merger of 2001. I was loyal to WCW and NWA. And we used to watch World Class back in Ohio, where I'm from. I don't know how we used to get World Class, but we used to get it. And I used to watch it. And I remember the Von Erichs. I remember all of that. The Free Birds. I remember all of that. But, yeah, I really, really, you know, my biggest memories, furthest memories were Hansel Stone, Ronnie Garvin, Rose for sure, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Ric Flair, Four Horsemen. Like, I remember all, I mean, that, those are my, you know, fondest, earliest memories. And I was a big fan of Doom, Ron Simmons and Butch Reed. I was a huge Ron Simmons fan. And later on, really mainly, Booker T became like a huge influence. WWE, him and Tuco Scorpio.
Yes, they definitely have a lot of charisma and a lot of very good workers inside the ring, definitely.
Oh, yeah, Booker T is definitely one of the greatest of all time.
Yes. Yes. What's your memories of your first ever wrestling match?
Well, I had my first ever match my first day in the business 15 years ago in Akron, Ohio, in this bar called the Shamrock Nightclub, Barberton, Ohio. This bar called the Shamrock Nightclub. There was a local indie company that ran Akron, Ohio, and I would see them on local access television on Saturday mornings. And this is when I was still really heavy in football, like really, really trying to get a contract playing football. And a couple of friends of mine wrestled for them. And even at the time, I was actually a battle rapper. Like, I was like a big-time battle rapper in Akron, where I'm from, well, you know, where I live, Ohio. And I used to host freestyle battles, kind of like 8 Mile, like Eminem's movie 8 Mile. Kind of, you know, it's funny. And they would always tell me that I would be perfect for wrestling because I was really good on the mic. And I was really good on the football field. So I remember watching the show, and I saw that champion was this, like, 180-pound guy named the Purple Hooter. Myself, I can kill that guy. Like, what? I didn't know. Why am I not there? I can kill that guy. I remember walking in, and walking into the bar. I called the number, left the guy a message, called back finally after a couple of weeks. And they invited me to come in. So I came to the bar, pre-show, watching everybody in the ring, you know, warming up and going over the matches. And immediately when I saw that, I realized, okay, I'm in over my head. This is a lot more complicated than I thought it would be. Because I was a boxer. But I just thought, you know, I could go in there and just kill these guys. But that wasn't the case. And I remember seeing a few guys, actually. But I remember seeing the guy who worked as Purple Hooter, who became a really good friend of mine, was in the ring working out with a guy named BJ Payne, who became a good friend of mine as well. At the time, he was also a WWE developmental. He was an OVW at the time. And they were going over a match. And it just blew my mind. I'm like, whoa, I don't know what this is. So I just thought it was a big Goldberg mark. So they gave, you know, guy looked me over. And he was like, you know, what can you do? I said, I don't, you know, so I just told him about the athletics, told him my background. He, you know, taught me a couple bumps. So I took some really bad bumps, but I was really athletic. And so they put me in a ring. Gave me my first match. Cause like, I mean, I caught on pretty fast to the bumps, you know. I was like, huh, it was, you know, interesting how fast I caught on, but they still weren't very good bumps, but they weren't terrible. Remember I had my first match wearing an NWO Wolfpack t-shirt. And I wanted to do all of Goldberg's moveset. And I got squashed to a guy half my size, 3 minutes. But I didn't care because I got to do Goldberg's moveset. And I remember that night, I couldn't sleep. I was buzzing. I was so excited. It was like being introduced to my whole life changed after my first match. It's funny. I haven't even talked about this in years. I haven't thought about it in years. Yeah, my life changed. Like, I remember that whole night, I was buzzing. Like, it was just, I couldn't sleep. And it's all I could think about was wrestling. That's pretty interesting. I haven't thought about that in years.
Awesome. What's your memories of doing that first ever NXT basically doing all of these obstacle things and inside and outside of the ring?
Well, I do remember having had the first ever NXT match on national or worldwide television. I was the first ever NXT match ever. And there was a lot of firsts that I did that I don't really get credit for, but it's all good. You know how everyone on NXT has merch now? Everyone has their own gimmick t-shirts. Every talent, every wrestler has their own shirt. Well, in developmental, they didn't have that before. And in NXT, they didn't have it until me. I remember I went to my ex at the time, got me a T-shirt with the 1.9 made on it. It was a birthday gift. And I thought, what a brilliant idea. I'm going to try to wear this on television. That was my knockout punch, was the Superman punch 1.9. And I went to John Laurinaitis and said, can I wear this on television? He said, you know what? That's a great idea. Go ahead. So I wore it, and it ended up, you know, great, even better idea, because the people started really can identify with the finisher I was trying to promote that I was never allowed to use. So then from there, when they took my knockout punch, then I started getting more creative with the T-shirts. I did the Run DMC parody, the Run NXT T-shirt, a couple other parodies. There's a bunch of NXT parodies. And after that, the next season, season two of NXT, everyone had their own merch. And I didn't really get credit for that, but it's all good. Okay, everybody had their own merch, but the challenges were cool. I would purposely not do the challenges so I could stand out. And I was trying to create my own storyline because I wasn't really getting anything. They weren't creative, wasn't interested in really telling the story about me or doing it or helping or anything for me at all. So I had to do it all myself. So I would throw challenges and make a scene and just make it to where all the, you know, commentators can talk about was Michael Tarver and whatever he's going to do next. And it worked. It definitely worked.
Right. Awesome. Also, you definitely wrestled with Ryback also. What was that like working with him?
Oh, man. Ryback is one of the coolest, most humble people you'll ever meet. He is such a genuine guy with a big heart. Like, he's such a genuinely nice, good. He was snug, and he was strong. And, you know, some people had a hard time working with him. I didn't. I mean, not that many people. There's one or two people had a hard time working with him, you know. For the most part, people like working with him, you know. And I love working with him. But it was, I don't mind being hit hard, you know. But he's good. I enjoyed working with him. I enjoyed being with him in and out of the ring. Just such a good guy. And just a star. Like, he just, I knew he was a star the moment I met him.
Yes, he's definitely a guy with a lot of intensity and charisma.
Oh, yeah.
And he should have been world champion.
He should have been world champion.
Right. And it seemed like that he also idolized Ric Flair when he was growing up, because I remember him first starting out with blonde hair, basically.
Really, I mean, most wrestlers idolized Ric Flair, you know? It's almost hard not
right.
to.
Right. Yes, he's like the Joe Montana of pro wrestling, definitely.
Yeah, more like Broadway Joe. More like the Joe Namath.
Yep. Yes.
Wearing pink coats on the sideline.
Right. Also, what was it like doing that Monday Night Raw? To do that running on Cena and CM Punk also to form the Nexus.
You know, so funny. There's a lot of really, really big names that. I mean, obviously, you know, Cena, CM Punk, Luke Gallows was in that run-in, and he left and later helped form the Bullet Club, which y'all know and love today. You know, like, I mean, there was just so many, like Serena, who was amazing. Joey Matthews is one of the most underrated talents ever. He's just a mechanic and a magician. But that night was amazing, life-changing, game-changing. Being able to work with Zeno just put you on a, immediately puts you on a whole new level. And you have so many more eyes. You're in the ring with John Cena. Game changer. It's like immediately being in the Super Bowl.
Yes, I'm the biggest guy in the company, definitely the top guy. And I know it was that basically had the highest rated segment of the year of WWE with the Nexus forming.
Yeah, you bet it was. They haven't done anything better since.
Right.
They've done some great things, but they haven't done anything better than that Nexus debut. I don't think they'll ever be able to top that again.
No, they... And I doubt that. Also, y'all did so many angles, including also even at that Bret Hart angle with the tag, basically that was definitely well good. Also,
it was a lot of fun. Finally getting to work with Bret Hart. Actually got to wrestle him. We main evented Madison Square Garden, his last match at Madison Square Garden. It was Nexus versus Bret Hart and the Hart Dynasty. So we got to work with Bret Hart, Tyson Kidd, and Harry Smith, who are also absolutely amazing world-class talents, like world champions.
Yes, definitely. Yes, and it seemed like basically the Hart Foundation, basically for generations, and they still going, basically. Their generation of the family, yes.
Yeah. Wonderful family. Very nice people.
Yes. Exactly, yep. What was it like to be Floyd Mayweather's bodyguard on WWE TV?
That was pretty cool, man. We got to we got superstar treatment. My first week on the job. My first week on the job with WWE. They had basically moved me from Ohio to Florida, to Tampa, that week. And then that Tuesday of that week, which was March 25th, 2008, March 28th, that Sunday, I was in the main event of WrestleMania. My first week on the job. And, yeah, we got the Royal Treatment. We were hanging out with Floyd Mayweather all day long, riding around in limousines. It's kind of crazy.
Yes.
But they wanted to make sure that the crowd fans understood that we were, his, you know, for real, like his bodyguards, whatever, we were developmental.
Right.
They wanted it to be cohesive. That makes sense. I remember getting the call. Now, this is after I signed my contract. But, like, I think it was like 2 weeks or so. That's about a month before I moved down. And I got the call from Talent Relations. And I said, asked, am I excited to come down? I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited. And I had never even been to Florida before, so I was excited to move to Tampa because I always wanted to live in Florida. I'm super excited to move to Tampa. A spot for you on Mania. And I almost dropped the phone. I said, what did you say? And I said, we may have a spot for you on Mania. I'm like, what? Okay, sure enough. Sure enough. Floyd Mayweather.
Awesome. Also, what was like to work with Sandman earlier?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Sandman was really cool. I was a lot less experienced than I am now. I'm only about 4 years in at the time. You know, but I was just I played it very smart with that match. I wasn't going to try to go in and wrestle him or pick him up and suplex him all over the place because that was my suplex machine, so I used to call myself. So, but, you know, I told him, whatever you want to do, I will follow you. And Sandman is not a wrestler. He's not the wrestler's wrestler. You know, we had an okay match. I presented myself at, I think it was PWU in Philly, Pro Wrestling Unplugged. It was a really good incoming, intimidating heel. And fans, they dug it. I got a lot of heat. They loved it. I remember I walked out on a show. How it actually all happened was they were having a seminar. Too Cold Scorpio and Joey Matthews were doing a seminar. And a good friend of mine saw it. He said, we need to get you to that seminary. I was about to quit wrestling in Cleveland, where I'm from. And I was about to be done with wrestling. Like, if this is what this is like, I don't want to do this. And a very good friend of mine was like, oh, I believe you got something special. You have to get out of Cleveland so other people can see what you have. Like, you're special. I was like, I appreciate you saying that, but, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore. So he was like, you know what, I'm going to drive you to Philly for this, you know, for this trial. So, okay. Sure enough, we drive 8 hours to Philly from Akron, Ohio, and I do the seminar. I jump in the ring. I stood out, I guess, because Scorpio liked what he saw. And I remember, I go up to Joey Matthews. I'm like, I feel like I've seen you somewhere. You look so familiar. And he was so cool about it, he was like, yeah, a lot of people say that. And then when I realized who he was, when I met him, when I got signed to him, I said the stupidest thing to you, and you probably don't remember. And he laughed. He was like, it's all good, man. I told him, I said, thank you for being humble about it. He's like, oh, it's all good. And I ended up learning a lot from Joey Matthews. But what led up to that Sandman match was Too Cold Scorpio really, he liked me. And went to Ty Gordon and, like, spoke up. I was like, hey, this guy's good. We can give him a shot. He's big. He's athletic. He's aggressive. And I remember walking up to Ty Gordon and introduced myself. And I said, sir, I drove 8 hours from Akron, Ohio. I just want a shot. And he said, you know what? You impressed me. Got something for you. Later on that night, I'm wrestling the Sandman. Like, what? At the arena. So, you know, they were like, I said they have a good idea, you know, which I wasn't really a good fit for the match with Sandman, but it still worked. It was okay. But I told him I have a better idea on how I can get you some heat. I can heat. They're like, how? I'm like, I'm really good on the mic. And they were like, really? I said, yeah. I said, my idea, this is what I do. I walk out, completely interrupt the show, unannounced, take the mic from the announcer at the most awkward time I can take it, and cut the nastiest heel promo I can cut. And then that's when Sandman comes out and interrupts me. I said, okay. So I go out, and this is, you know, before the Sandman match, interrupt the ring announcer, most awkward time I could, take the mic, start talking all of this trash about how Cleveland's better than Philadelphia. Then I actually did the infamous Shane Douglas promo, where he threw down the NWA title and announced the ECW title. I did that promo. And I was nervous about doing it. This is before I ever met Shane Douglas, so I'm super cool with now. And then Sandman came out. It was huge pop. We had a very mediocre match, but it got over really well. And they ended up bringing me back like 3 or 4 more times. But it was fun. I remember when I met Shane Douglas, I told him I did his promo at the arena. He said, what promo? I said, the promo. He said, what? I said, yeah, I'm a promo guy. I said, I did your promo at the arena when you threw down the title. And I told him that story. He just cracked up laughing. He was like, you got a set of grapes on you. Yeah, well, got to have them. But yeah, that's right. My memory of the Sandman match.
Also, what was it like to meet Vince McMahon for the first time backstage working for the company?
Oh, Wow. Well, I actually met Vince before I even got signed. So, it's so funny to you, hashtag. So, the night of my tryout, December 19, 2007, we are in Rochester, New York at the Blue Cross Arena for SmackDown. And I had gotten a call from a friend of mine who was doing extra work for WWE. Called me and said, hey, you need to get up to New York now. They need big guys for a pull apart with JBL and Jericho. I believe it was one of the stories. Unbooked, uninvited. They had no idea who I was and I was coming. So I said, I will be there. So I show up, for the grace of God. I get in the building. That'll never happen these days. Probably would never happen then either, but I got in and got a job. Wasn't even booked. So I get in the ring. I think it might have been Jamie Noble. Pulled me into the ring. I was bigger than everybody else I had there. It's funny because the guys that were there, it was myself, Colin Delaney, who got signed that night and did the ECW run, Brody Lee, who ended up becoming, in the Wyatt family, big dark hair guy, I can't think of his name, he's one of the guys in the Wyatt family, big dark hair guy, I think Pepper Parks was there, who else?
Luke Harper, yeah.
Sterling James Keenan. What is his name now? In NXT. He's an announcer now. What is his name?
Byron Saxon. Yeah.
No, not Byron Saxon. The one that always says, shut up, Byron. What is his name now? They always say, shut up, Byron.
Corey Graves.
Corey Graves, yes. That's a good friend of mine. Yeah. I couldn't remember his name. He was there that night. Like, there was a ton of future WWE talent there that night. Yeah, Colin and I got offered contracts that night. Actually, other guys, too. So I had a match, and soon as I finished the match, Mark Carano, talent relations guy, pulls me out of the ring and says, Johnny wants to meet you. So I'm like, okay. And all I kept hearing was, Johnny is the guy you want to talk to. Johnny. I'm like, who is Johnny? Well, I found out who Johnny was. So, corridor, and I'm sitting in this chair right in front of an open door, and see John Laurinaitis sitting on the phone. It was in a dead winter, and there was no heat, so it was freezing cold. And I was like, I couldn't breathe, and I just got done wrestling my butt off. And I'm just like nervous, my heart's racing. I've never experienced this before in my life. So I'm sitting there nervous, like, okay, what is about to happen? Like, what is going on? I look up. Down walking the hallway is Batista. So I'm like, oh, wow. First time I ever met you. Dave and I are really good friends now. First time I ever met him. So I jumped up, stopped him in his tracks, reached out my hand, shook his hand, introduced myself, and he seemed to appreciate that. He was like, huh, all right, kid, good to meet you. I said, thank you, sir, good to meet you too. Sat down, he walked into Johnny's office, they talked for a little while, came out, said, you know, said goodbye, walked past. Heart's racing, I'm nervous, dizzy, excited, exhilarated, like, I just met Batista. What in the world? I'm marking out like crazy, right? Next thing you know, someone else is walking down the hallway. I look up. Guess who it is? Vince McMahon. So I'm like, whoa! That's the boss. And boy, did I make the right decision. Because Vince McMahon does not like Timothy. And I've always just went right to his nose. And he always liked me a lot. He was walking down the hallway. I jumped right up, stopped in his track, reached my hand out, introduced myself, shook his hand, and he just smiled. I was like, okay, kid. It's nice to meet you, kid. I said, thank you, sir. It's very nice to meet you, too. Sat right down. He went in and talked to Johnny, said goodbye, walked past me, walked past me and left. And by this time, I'm sitting there like, oh, my gosh, I just met Vince McMahon. Like, what in the world is going on tonight? Like, what is happening? Mind is blown, right? One more person comes walking down the hallway. You'll never guess who this person was. You'll take one wild guess.
Let's see. My Triple H.
Bigger.
Bigger. Let's see.
In every way.
Undertaker.
Yep. The freaking Undertaker. I look up, and Taker's walked in the hall. And I'm like, wow, what? Bro, I was going crazy. I dust myself off, caught my breath, stood up, did the exact same thing. He seemed to really appreciate that, too. And walked into Johnny's office, talked to him, walked past me, said goodbye. Nice meeting you, Ken. Went on his way. Then Johnny calls me in the office. By this time, I'm like exhausted, tired, excited, blown away. Like, what just happened? I just met Batista, Vince McMahon, and The Undertaker in 10 minutes. Like, what is going on? So I go into Johnny's office. He sits me down. He's asking me some questions. Asked me about indie stuff that I had done that apparently he knew about. So I'm guessing he probably either looked me up while he was in his office, or I highly doubt he knew who I was. And I didn't have that big of a name. Like, I was starting to make a name in Philly, you know, but I wasn't like an indie darling, you know. And so he offered me a job. He said, I want to send you to OVW. And I'm just like, I almost lost it. Like, you want to send me where? He said, I want to send you to OVW for a week, see how you do. I was like, oh, my Lord. And I remember walking out. I said, thank you so much, sir. Posed myself, walked out, found my friend, who was a referee. We went back to the extra talent locker room, sat, and I just broke down in tears and cried and hugged him. I said, thank you so much. He said, why? I said, they're sending me to OVW. And we both just, like, broke down and cried together. Like, it was such a special moment. And he was like, wow, this is it. This is what we worked for. This is it. And, like, what an amazing night that was. I hadn't thought about that years either, actually. What an amazing night that was. Not a lot of Vince McMahon stories, though. Tons of Vince McMahon stories. Vince McMahon was so impressed with me, and this was like a shoot. With my promos, before every, you know, every show, Raw, SmackDown, TV taping. He doesn't really go to the house shows. Raw, SmackDown, or pay-per-view, that is. Vince will always be located, pre-show, standing next to the ring with big giant headsets on and a big TV screen in front of him, and checking all of the levels of all of the cameras and sound and all of that. Every show, no fail, that's where Vince will be found. Vince was so impressed with my promos, he started to not go to do the pre-tapes and then come to the pre-tape room with me and spend 2 hours just with me alone working on promos. Imagine that. This was like after Nexus had happened and all of that. And, yeah, he would come and, you know, they'd call for me like, Tarver, I need you to come to pre-tapes. I'm like, okay, I'll go there. Vince is waiting for me. I'm like, whoa. Hello, sir. I want you to impress me today. I said, yes, sir. And I was just very confident, you know. But there was no challenge. You know, he was throwing something out. I cut a promo on it. He was just like, wow. We did so many different promo exercises and went through so many fights. It was so cool working with him this one-on-one. I don't know how many people can say they've got to do that. But, yeah, I got Vince, like, Vince, he liked me a lot. It's kind of a shame that I got released because Vince really seemed to like me. That's all good.
Wow. I can see, Vince said that, we got all the talent and everything we need right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, that wasn't popular. A lot of other talent didn't really, wasn't really too happy about that. But it's all good.
Right.
I wasn't there.
Right.
But still lost a job anyway, so whatever.
Right. What's your memories of working New Japan for the first time?
Wow. New Japan, that was amazing. I only went for one tour, sadly. I did two pay-per-views. Well, I did the New Beginning, but it was broken up into two pay-per-views. New Beginning pay-per-view in 2014. That was so cool. Such a dream come true, because New Japan was just definitely a dream for me. That was just... It became such a dream for me, and you know, in my mind, I look at it as my career resurrection, so to speak. Like, if I show up on New Japan, people really got to take me seriously. And it didn't happen that way, you know, but, you know, it is what it is. But I'm blessed that I had, you know, opportunity to go there once. And that came from, they came to, you know, a lot of time, they're doing a lot of stuff over here, you know, in the U.S. now with Bullet Club and Cody and all of that, ROH. And it's being advertised that these are the first appearances of New Japan on American soil, but it's not actually. I don't even have to necessarily know what ours was, but before they started partnering with ROH and before Cody got released and, you know, before even Bullet Club was really even a thing, Bullet Club was just kind of just starting when I was there. They weren't just starting, but they were just, you know, they were kind of getting the ball rolling. They certainly weren't what they became yet. In the early stages, New Japan was partnering with NWA, and they would bring the NWA World Champion and Tag Champs over to Japan to wrestle against New Japan. And what they were trying to do was get a market here in the States. And I got a chance to work with the president at the time, Bruce Starr. I met with him, we talked, and he invited me to go to a tryout slash camp in Texas, where New Japan was coming over with bookers and talent, and we're going to do a couple of shows. And so they put me on a show, a couple of shows, both of the shows, that is. And I got to wrestle, you know, Jack Stane. I had to work with Jack Stane, who was NWA World's Champ. And then the next night, myself and Byron Wilcott, or Big Daddy Yum Yum, we got the tag in the main event. We got to work with Tenzan and oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Oh, wow.
Was it Kojima?
No, that was in Japan. But this was in Texas. Oh. We had to work with Tenzan and Jushin Thunder Liger. And
wow.
That was amazing. Liger was so super cool. I was so nervous. And he was like, Tom, relax. I'm like, yes, sir. But it was so cool. And they liked us, so they brought us over as a tag team. And then we debuted. We had singles matches the first night. I worked Kojima and beat Kojima. Not Kojima. I worked with Tenzan and beat Tenzan. And Byron Wilcott worked with Kojima for the NWA World's title. And Kojima won. And I ended up running in and knocking out Kojima with a Superman punch. It was crazy. And then I accidentally busted Tenzan open during that match. I got so much bad. I had so much heat. Like, not heated up in New Japan, but, like, fans, just marks were just crapping on me. But it was a good match. It was very simple, but it was a good match. You know, Tenzan's not going to do a bunch of crazy stuff. Fans were definitely into it, so I don't care what the mark said. It was a good match because the New Japan fans were into it. Very into it. And then the second night, first night was in Hiroshima. Second night was in Osaka, and that's where we did the tag. Was myself, Big Daddy Yum Yum, with Kojima and Tenzan in Osaka, and that was really cool. I got to actually train at the New Japan Dojo in Tokyo. That was freaking awesome. I got to work out with a bunch of my favorites, Yuji Nagata. I got to sit and talk to him. Tanahashi. Shinsuke Nakamura, that's my guy. Like, I love Nakamura. I got to, like, really, really, you know, like, to talk to him. I told him, like, yeah, I want to wrestle you so bad. Like, you are my favorite guy. Like, I want to work with you so bad. But he was super cool about it. He's like, yeah, okay, make it happen. Like, he was super cool. And that's when I first met Prince Devitt and Finn Balor. And we're on the bus because I didn't know he was about to go to WWE, but I guess they were, like, talking to him at the time. And so he was asking me a bunch of questions about WWE, and I was like, oh, you know, my experience wasn't all that great, but it's, you know, a great place, but this is just my experience. But I think you would do well there, you know. I told him, you know, if WWE came back and said, hey, we want to bring you back, and New Japan said we want to bring you on full-time, I would choose New Japan, you know, but sure enough, he debuts as Finn Balor. I was like, ah, he was going. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Everyone there was really cool. Never went back.
Experience of a lifetime, basically.
Yeah, that definitely was, man. That was Two sold out arenas too, man. I remember watching I'm trying to remember all these guys' names. The Rainmaker, Okada. It was Okada and I can't remember the guy's name. The Samurai. What is his name? I can't remember none of their names. I just disconnected myself. But like I was watching New Japan nonstop. I just disconnected myself and forgot everybody's names. But just the matches, man. The matches were just out of this world. And seeing them in person, like seeing New Japan live and in person, was just mind blowing. Absolutely mind blowing. Like there, I just all the shows and matches I've seen at WWE is just me didn't compare. I was there.
Hello. Okay. Yeah, I was there, present, you know, firsthand for Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair. You know, Ric Flair's last match at WWE at WrestleMania 24. Like, I shook his hand in tears right after the match. You know, like, I watched that, you know. So it's like, I've seen some monumental historical events in person. It was nothing like New Japan. Like, New Japan was just out of this world. Hello?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's it just been that experience been for everyone is basically a lifetime moment of New Japan basically, and the fans show a lot of respect toward basically so much to all the talent and everything. They invest so much into it.
Yeah, oh yeah, they have a very strong following. Very, very strong following. I mean, I still love New Japan. I don't really watch them anymore, but New Japan will always be my favorite.
Yes, definitely. Also, how long you been doing gospel hip hop music?
Yeah, Christian hip hop since 2009, actually. 2009 is when I started. And
awesome.
I have released 5 albums since 2015. I just released one January the 7th called The Mechanical Animals. It's available everywhere. And I'm going to release another one here in April. Another album in April.
Well, yes, awesome. And where can our listeners check it out at?
Anywhere, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Music, anywhere you listen to music, iHeartRadio. I have a couple of songs on the radio. Anywhere you listen to music, you can find it.
Awesome. Definitely, it's so much talent out there in gospel rap music. Definitely, a lot.
Oh yeah, it definitely is.
Also, what's your thoughts of AEW All Elite Wrestling? I'm starting up.
I mean, it's cool. It doesn't really do anything for me. Like, it don't, you know, that doesn't help me at all anyway. But it's cool. Like, I'm happy for them. You know, I knew Cody at WWE. Cody was cool. You know, I didn't get a chance to really have very intimate relationship with Cody. But, I mean, I knew him. I was really close with Dusty. He was, you know, my mentor. I was very close with him. And Dustin, the Gold Dust, you know, was really close to him as well. You know, so Cody and I were cool. But and I met the Young Bucks when I was in Japan, so, you know, and they were super cool. You know, blew my mind with how cool they were. So I'm happy for those guys. You know, I don't know any of the other guys, but I'm happy for those guys. You know. And it's good. It's a good look for the business. You know, but there is, you know, another option out there for talent to go and wrestle and make money. you know, like I said, it doesn't do anything for me. No one, there's not, they're not gonna have any heavyweights there in the circle, you know. So everyone's gonna be 180 pounds on a bunch of super kicks, suicide dives, and hurricane riders, you know. But I mean, it's all great. I mean, I wish him the best, you know. I hope it's good. Huge fan of Kenny Omega. I didn't ever got to meet him, but huge fan of him. So I think they got, you know, the material to be successful. They need a little more diversity. How are you? But I think they got what it takes to make it work.
Yes. Definitely does. Yeah, definitely. And definitely a lot of diversity also, including even in ownership also, with the Khan family also from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, well, they got good backing.
Yes.
So, yeah, they should do well.
And, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Also, do you have any upcoming shows and events you would like to plug for our listeners out there?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to be a part of Texas Mania, and I believe in Dallas. In 2 weeks, I will be wrestling against Lance Hoyt, who is one half of what's his tag team with Harry Smith, the Killer Elite Squad, New Japan World Tag Team Champ, IWGP World Tag Team Champ. I will be wrestling him at Texas Mania in a couple of weeks. I'm good.
Awesome.
Got to get.
Yes, that, that's definitely they're a very good match, basically with talent right there. Also, very good New Japan tag team.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know, I've wrestled with Lance Hoyt before. I mean, he's very talented, very, very strong, very physical guy too, very athletic. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm definitely excited about it. He's a good friend of mine too.
Yes. Also, you had a chance to also work with Matt Morgan, also the Blueprint.
That match actually never happened. Matt Morgan and I were supposed to have a match for like a year, I think 2 years, and it never happened. Him and I became really cool though, but yeah, it was supposed to happen for a promotion here in Florida, and just over 2 years of trying to build it, and just the schedules never worked out, but it just caused him and I to be good friends, or really cool that is. But I would definitely love to have had a match with Matt Morgan. I think it would have been a lot of fun.
Yes. Uh-huh. Also, where can also our listeners reach you at also?
My social media at TyroneEvansB20, which is my Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can find my music at you know, all digital outlets, Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, and yeah, and you know, I'll be busy and just see you around.
Awesome. Yes, we we'd definitely like to see you back on the show again. Definitely, we're about to run out of time. And you can come back any time.
I much appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's an honor.
Got it.
Alrighty. You have a good night. Enjoy the rest of your night.
You too. Thank you. You too.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was former WWE superstar Michael Tarver, a.k.a. Tyrone Evans. If you'd like to download this episode, it's right up at blogtalkradio.com/WrestlingIt Factor Radio. Or if you want to look up some more of the shows, or this episode is up at Facebook at Wrestling It Factor Radio
facebook.com/itfactorentertainment. Or you can check out Twitter also page at Wayne Benitez /wrestlingitfactorradio/itfactorentertainmentradio. This is Wayne Benitez signing off. Later.